We are on Tzubur Rabbanan volume 9, and we are on Shir number 6 of volume 9, which is in the Bronner edition. We continue with the brochas of Birkat Torah. This is part 2 of Birkat Torah. What content necessitates Birkat Torah? So here's your interesting question. When do you have to make a brocha of Birkat Torah? Because firstly, we'll see later on, but there's an understanding that Birkat Torah you're going to at least make once a day. We discussed Birkat HaShachar, right? Birkat HaNehin is supposed to be Birkat HaMitzvahs. So Torah could be almost both. It could be like a Birkat HaNe'anin, because we're getting some sort of Hana'a from Limud Torah. One should be enjoying Limud Torah, but I don't think it's near Birkat HaNe'anin. But it certainly fits into the case of the bracha that we learned. So you make a bracha every day. The question is it every day, like on a 24-hour? If you didn't sleep, you didn't sleep. We'll get into all of that as well during the course. But before we, in the course of the Shir, but before we discuss that, the question is, what subject matter do you make brachas on? So what is called Limud Torah? That's a question. What's called Limud Torah? So it's Gemara Masechet Brachot Daf Yud Aleph, right? Most of you here learned it already in the first cycle about a year ago. Not about a year and a half ago. Brachot was about a year, January, right? January last year. So Amravuna, Lemikra, Tzirich Levarech. So Huna says, Lemikra, right? Mamash Psukim. When you're learning Psukim, you've got to make a brocha. Ule Midrash, Ein Tzirich. When you're learning Midrash, you've got to make a brocha. Rabbi Lazar Omer le Mikra ule Midrash shelichri. He says no, you got to make a brocha Midrash as well. Aba le Mishnah and the shelichri. Again, instead of the Gemara, from their point of view, Mishnah wasn't learning Torah, right? Why? Because we only watch in Psukim. Why Midrash? Yes, because Midrash explains Psukim, right? That's why you understand why Rabbi Lazar says yes, Midrash, because Midrash discusses in Psukim, but Mishnah doesn't discuss in Psukim. Rabbi Yochanan Omer af le Mishnah mitshelichri barich. You have to make a brocha on Mishnah as well. Aba le Talmud. Not to break brachot. Now Talmud Rabbi Yochanan not exactly the same as we call Talmud, right? Rabbi Yochanan was living the Talmud. What we call Talmud in the Gemara we've seen that the Gemara tells Talmud is talking more about like the what do you call it, midot shatran nidreshet b'hen, all those sorts of things.
Does Mishnah refer to Mishnah or does it mean like halakha?
Now, so I think that because it's already Rabbi Elazar was in Amora, the Mishnah already been written. So I assume that he knew what the Mishnah was. That's why I think that the Mishnah over there means Mishnah, but
doesn't it sometimes refer to just like halacha, as like learning practical?
Maybe, but I think that here we're discussing proper Mishnah. I think we discussed proper Mishnah because there was a Mishnah, but you could be right. You know, it could be right. It needs to be checked, but I think that's what it means. Rava came after all of them. Rava was the latest one, right? He's the Batra, and says Af le Talmud Tarich le Barech. Rabbi says you've got to learn every, make a brocha on everything. What? Rabbi Chia Barashi quotes Rabbi Chia, says like this, Zimnin Sagin, he says it happens that often on a regular basis, frequently, regularly, the Hava came to come to Rav, and I was standing in front of Rav, Litnuye Pirkin Besifr Devei Rav, and he wanted to come now and learn or teach a chapter from Sifr Devei Rav, the Sifra, right? That was really the Sifra was. The Amoraim gathered together, you know, all the different, whatever it was. I think it was from the teaching of the Beit Midrash of right? And have a makdim, he would get up, the kamasha yada, and wash his hands, ubarich, umatni lan pirkin. And then he would make a brocha, and then he would teach us. Firstly, two interesting things, which we're seeing. The interesting thing is that he washed his hands before he made the brocha. We're not going to discuss that today, right? But he washed his hands before he made the brocha Birkat Torah. Okay, so interesting. Okay, so we see over here, interesting. Now, Shulchan Aruch on that paskens, Tzirich Levarech, Bein HaMikra, Bein HaMishnah, Bein HaGemara, on everything, what's missing over here is Midrash. And the Rama adds, Bein HaMidrash. Okay, so we see over here, basically, Halacha L'maaseh, on everything, you got to make a brocha. Okay, so the question now is, since the time of this discussion in the Gemara in Brachot, the Yud Aleph, there's been other things added to the corpus of Torah. They never had, in those days, they never had Kabbalah, right? Let's say they never had Chassidus, for example, right? Look over here. So now, they bring over here, they say, particularly as the scope of Torah-oriented literature became wider and wider. Often they never had Musar, for example. Right, they never had a lot of things which today we take for granted as part of Torah. Didn't exist on the Gemara. They never had Musa. Right, look at this over here. Masros had a brocha before learning Midrash Agadah, or Machshava, or Musar, Kabbalah, All these sort of things, what do? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Aruch HaMem Zayin, yeah, on page 202 now, the third note, says, V'da sheyesh lihistapek b'lom dehi divrei Haggadah k'midrash Rabba o chaman HaKabbalah im mechuyav l'vareich b'kala Torah. So it's a sapek. Do we make, it's not pashu make a brocha. Rishon the Gemara, they didn't think Mishnah you make a brocha, right? What it was that Rav Huna said, Mikra only and nothing else. Rav Lala said, in Midrash. And Rabbi Yochanan said, even Mishnah, but not Talmud. So he says, the Aruch HaShulchan is not so pashut. And he says, Dav HaMaskana, the Gam, the Midrash, Tzirich Levarech, why? Mishum Shiva Midrash, Lomed Gam Ken Mi HaPsukim. See what his reason is giving? Saying, why Midrash? Because of the Psukim. Mikal V'chom Yugzer Shava, Umi HaMidot Shatran V'yashir Bahem. So that's, he says there, from the reason why the Gemara concluded Midrash. Ulefizeh, he said, now, because we learned in the Gemara, why did they say also Midrash? Because Midrash was really based on Psukim. So from that rationale, we can see Shanachiyuv Rak, but Dvarim Shvefarshim Dinah Torah. There's only things that explain the Dinim of the Torah, in other words, the Psukim, that you got to make a broch on, about Dibra Agada or Kabbalah. She'eni Karim Ledinim Milachot, but Kabbalah, Musar, Agada, etc., maybe Anshech Levacha. He says, if you go from the rationale of the machloka between Rav Huna and Rabbi Lazar, Rav Huna said no midrash, Rav Lazar said yes midrash. So what's behind that machloka? So Rav Lazar says, wait a second, we're discussing psukim. So it's only psukim, Kabbalah. You could say Kabbalah, but psukim. The Zohar is based on psukim, maybe. I'm not an expert of the Zohar, but I'm saying, it seems like the Zohar has a psukim, but Musar, right? It's very Agadah or Kabbalah. And she says, about Im Nomar, he says, that's if you say that's the reason. However, he says, about Im Nomar, Hatam, Mishum, Shakol, Nitna, Moshe, Misinai. Right? And he quotes over here, that's the Graz, is the Lubavitch Rebbe, that's the Alter Rebbe, that's so he wanted to say that everything was given from Sinai. Not only him, a lot of Rishonim say that as well, that really, everything was given at Sinai, to Moshe, and all we're doing now really is just filling in the gaps of what we're left out. So then it's all part of Torah Mishinai. The fact that the Canaanite doesn't mean anything, that's the one reason. Or Mishum, Dechulu Torah Mikri, that he quotes the Lavush over here, that the Lavush says that it's all called Torah. Right? They say, therefore, maybe there are two good reasons why we should make a brocha. He says, if that's the case, Pshita, Shegam, Agadah, V'Kabbalah, and Lavush V'Sinai, U'Mikru Torah, Abba Minashon, Tavir Rabbeinu Yonah, Lo Mashmaken, V'Tzarich Iyun Ledina. Tavir Rabbeinu Yonah weren't so persuaded that that was all Torah. Right? And according to them, might not be the Mishnah. It's interesting to see how the more modern day poskim add poskim halachaya. So look at the Kaf HaChaim, right? So the Kaf HaChaim writes that Shich Levarech bein the mikra bein the Mishnah, the chulu Torah mikru, because all called mitorah. And who's that? That's the Levush we saw over here. The chen adivrei haZohar veKabbalah who pashut. Well, if he mashakav makubalim, and he says now gets into now he says it's interesting. He uses a kabbalistic explanation to explain why you have to make a brocha on Kabbalah. Right? It's interesting, right? I was always taught that you can't explain something by using it in the sentence. You know, that's such a rule like that. You can't explain a word by using the word itself. So you can't explain what an apple is. An apple is green. It's not an apple. What is an apple? You explain what an apple is. That's how you're calling it an apple or something like that. Here, they're being over on that cloud, right? Explaining Kabbalah by Kabbalah. It says over here, Lufi mashakat vama kubalim, she arba bechinot eilu. Right, in all these four characters, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, Kabbalah, Hemi B'chinat Arba Olamot, Atzilut, Priya, Yitzhak. See, I can't understand all that stuff, but basically I want to say this is really the basis of Torah. Okay. So now we understand, and I think that's the Lachon Ma'aseh said today, that we clearly make a broch on everything. So if you're going to learn Agadah, or Kabbalah, or whatever the case, you've got to make a broch. You can't, that's not called Torah. I think in the world that we live in today, that's all called Torah, you're going to make a broch on everything. The question now is...
You're also learning Pesukim, like each book is based on Pesukim, and they have, you know, like, or the Silla Charm is based on the Mishnah of Pesukim,
right? Okay, so it's based on the Mishnah. So no, you want to say, according to the...
Based on the Pesukim.
But they were based on the Mishnah. So I'm saying, if you're going to now take the argument that we saw Rabbi Yochanan said that you make a you learn Mishnah, but we said Rabbi Lazar said that you don't make a broch on Mishnah.
They're bringing Pesukim as proof all the time.
Okay, so you're right. So I would agree with you that if you're learning Pesukim, yes. But often you can find... I'm trying to give an example. I'm not an expert either, but you can take example an essay of Rav Kook.
Mm-hmm.
Rav Kook can write half a page and not mention a pasuk. Now, he can use flowery words you don't understand really half of what he's saying, but it's not a pasuk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so according to that, you maybe not make a brocha on it. Right? But it's Pashut, he says that it's all Mikra Torah, that you would make a bracha on it. But you're right. If it's Psukim there, then it's Pashut, you have to make a bracha. So now the question is, now that we know you're going to make a bracha on anything, and especially on Psukim, what happens now if you're mentioning Psukim not as part of Limud Torah? And the classic example that they ask over here is, like Slichas. When you say Slichas in the morning, we all come so early in the morning and we say Slichas, full of Psukim in the Slichas, but we're not using it as Divrei Torah, as Limud Torah. We're learning, we're saying the Psukim more as a Tchina, as a Slichas, right? What the word they use in English here? Supplications. Does that demand a Brocha as well? It's a big question. And you'll see it's much more complicated than it appears. Look at the Shulchan Aruch over here. Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yikra psukim kodem b'karat Torah. You shouldn't read psukim. Afa pishu omram derech tachnun. Even if you're saying the slichas. You shouldn't make a brocha. However, v'yesh omrim, she'ein nachush, don't have to worry. Kevan she'eino omrim ele derech tachnunim. Right? And look what he says. Eva v'nachon nachush l'svar rishon. But he says that. Make a brocha first. The Ramah, on the other hand, for Ashkenazim says this, about a minag kisvar achrona. What's the custom? And we know, we discussed it enough. From Ashkenazi point of view, the minag is important. I heard amazing things. How do you know that? I heard a shit there from Rabbi Leibovitz. And he said it more than once. And I've heard other people say it as well. I think that I might have even heard of Shechter once. Might have said it. Maybe got it from, I don't know. But he said, how do we know that minag is important? He says, because he says there's a minag is more important than a mitzvah. Because there's a mitzvah that you shouldn't steal. But we see people do steal. So the minag is more important than the mitzvah. When he wanted to say. So I'm saying, but our minag is for achrona. Sharei bimei aslichot palim aslichot v'chakach mevarchim la Torah im sedeh shar brochas. He said, we daven slichas in the morning and we only say brochas when we daven shachrit afterwards. Right? V'chaim b'chol yom k'shnichnasi lebet ha-knesset omrim kama psukim v'tachnunim v'achakim v'achin al Torah. You go through the Seder, you say Elokai Neshama, you recite some psukim sometimes, and you, Matovu Alecha Yaakov, they say psukim, okay. Right? That's what he says, very good. That's, he probably was referring to that actually. Right? V'achakim v'achakim v'achin al Torah. He says, Zaeva, but look at this, so the Ramah starts off by saying what the minhag is, but then he says what you should do. He changes gear halfway through at the end. He says, V'nahagu l'sader birkat ha-Torah miyad achar birkat asher yatzar v'ein l'shanot, and don't change it. So really, this interesting of Matovu, look at the Korin, by the way, what comes first. Interesting to see. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here says like this. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Aslichot, on the question of slichas, right on page 204, yeah, note number 6, he says, "Vaslicha devi mashakadav lekamed hayom na'agul berachah Torah bi'alachar b'kara shiyatzar." He says, "So therefore, today the minhag is to make a brocha before you start shiyatzar. Start off the shiyatzar, sorry. So therefore, you already say b'kara Torah before anything. I'm actually not sure that we have it in our siddurs that way. Now that I think about it, our siddurs, our shiyatzar comes before that Bar Tov before b'kara Torah is later on. I'm saying the other way around. It's like your way.
This one has it afterwards.
Has it afterwards? Bar Tov after b'kara Torah. Wow. And your siddur, Steve? I'm saying it." Shulchan says you might have to say Birkat Torah because you answer Lo Yikras Psukim. He says V'yesh Omrim She'ein Lachush Kevin She'ein Omram Ela Derech Tachnunim. You aren't saying it for Psukim. You're saying it for supplication. So therefore, even though it's Psukim, it's not really being said for Psukim. It's the Evan Achon Lachush L'Svar Rishona. And the Mishnah and the Ramah says the Minag is like the Svar Achona that you don't make a brocha. And then he says after Evan V'Nagul Sadeh. Now they've changed it. So it seems it was a very big time in Jewish history. When people then have a problem saying Birkat Torah, at least Ashkenazim, according to the Mishnah Berurah says straight out like the Ramah says, look at the Piskei Tshuvos here on 8. He says, Kevan Shemikra Din Paskinan Ka Matirim. Look what he says here, Ed. He says, Kevan Shemikra Din, we Paskin like the Matirim. Lachen Kishesh Siba Vetam Itan La Kelbeze. Therefore, he's saying you can be Mekel if you couldn't. The Kagon La Nola Kaddish Kedush Barchus. If you walk into Shul, they don't say Brochus yet. Suddenly saying Kaddish. You could answer, or Baruch you could answer, or Kedusha you could answer. Vuadan if Nei Bikra, has he ever said Bikra Torah? So it's not a Yarek Val Yavor, right? But right, V'chein Omer Imatzibur Pasuk Rishon Shul Kriyashma. If you walk into Shul, everyone's saying Kriyashma. The Minhag you have to put your hand up your eyes and say with the whole Shul Kriyashma. You haven't said Bikra Torah yet, right? It says V'ukamochen Mutar Yikro Kriyashma Keshoresh Hashaa Mucheret V'im Yakdim Bikra Torah Yachesmana. If you suddenly notice, wait a second. If I'm going to be in one minute, Kriyashma, you don't stop and make a brocha. You quickly say Kriyashma, but that's a doraita, that's pashut, right? The big Kriyashma Torah is only. Well, we had a machloket last week, right? If it was a doraita or a drabanan, we concluded it was a drabanan to most opinions. I mean, we saw the Gemara one thing said that Birkat HaTorah was a Doraita, and Birkat HaMazon was a Doraita, but then we actually concluded, in the end, I think we concluded that really the only Makor that Birkat HaTorah wasn't exactly a I mean, said it wasn't a mitzvah Doraita. Now, I said it was one of the famous Hasagot of the Rambam, mitzvah Tetvav, that the Ramban said that it definitely was a mitzvah. I actually wanted to say that I just listened to the whole series of Shirim on the Hasagot Ramban. On the mitzvah, so it's interesting to note that at the end of Hasagot Ramban, or the Ramban's attacks on the Ramban, all the counting, how to get to the numbers, Ramban actually says that, I mean, the more he thinks about it, he's not so sure about this whole counting story, right? Because if you start counting, you start adding, you start subtracting, you know, there's so many mitzvahs, how do you know? Well, not so sure that you actually need to make such a big fuss about all this number story. But we said over there that the Shulchan Aruch Paskin Arachayim Reish Tet Halacha Gimel. Kol habrachot, im nistapeki brechim, if you got a suffix, if you want to, if you made a bracha or not. Ein ovarech, lo bitcha, you don't make a bracha beginning of the end. Chutz yibik la Torah, bimnei shu shil Torah. So the Shulchan Aruch was pretty categoric that was the only one that was a Doraita, and that Birkat HaTorah wasn't a Doraita. The Shagat Aryeh didn't agree so much, and we saw Rishonim there and arguments that didn't, right, that didn't necessarily agree with him altogether. I think Birkat HaTorah might be a Doraita, so it's not so partial there will be dock out Shema. But anyhow, we saw there that you can say Shema, so there are a couple of ways to do it. Okay, the question now is, so we've seen that there's a machloket on what you learn, right? We came to the conclusion that you make a brocha on everything, because all Torah, either because of the Labush or the Agur, whether we say that it was all at Hadlocha, but it's all called Torah, whatever. But the question is, do you have to make a brocha on Torah only when you actually verbalize the Torah? What if you're just thinking it? Remember I mentioned the Vilna Gaon, I think I told one of you last week a story about the Vilna Gaon, I'll tell you in a moment. But what if you just verbal, if you're thinking Torah, if you're lying in your bed and you're having hirurim and you discuss thinking over a sugya, just make a brocha? What if you're writing and you aren't talking, you're busy writing a chidush down, just make a brocha for that? Or is Torah talking? What's Torah? Torah is Torah. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm the one talking and I would have to make a brocha and you're just sitting here listening, you don't make a brocha. When do you have to make a brocha? So they quote Rabbi David Abu Draham. Now I thought I'm almost sure we've spoken about the Abu Draham. I'm pretty sure we've spoken about the Abu Draham. And I've said before that basically the Abu Draham was a Talmud of the Tur, right? That's Yaakov ben Arosh. He lived in the 1300s in Spain in Seville. And he wrote the Sefer on brachas and tefillot. So on brachot and tefillot, interesting Sefer. And he writes like this. This is worthwhile looking at the quote from the introduction. I wrote it down. You look at the quote from the introduction to his Sefer. It's like this. Rova Amon, the majority of the people, einam mevinim divrei ha-tefillah. Don't understand davening. Okay, which is true, I think. It's true today as it was then. Well, it's certainly true today. I can speak for myself, right? Vegam einam yodim seder ha-minagot, he says, v'ta'amihem. They don't understand the order of all the minagim and the reasons for them. Right? So therefore, he set out to write a sefer on that. And he's still an authority to this day. The Abu Draham is quoted widely. Okay? David Abu Draham. He writes like this. He says that, imishkim kodim atfila lichtov bedivrei Torah. If you wake up early before davening, now you haven't had a brocha yet, right? To write divrei Torah, chayav levarech b'kar Torah kamo lilmod. Chayav levarech. Because the Torah kamol yomod, right? Rak shelo yeh kotev bedivrei reshut. Now, what does he mean bedivrei reshut? So he says over here, in the note over here, they say this refers to a case of using a pasuk in a letter of other non-Torah documents in the expression rather than as a Torah thought. Let's say, for example, I don't know, you want to say, you know, there's a classic example. You can, I don't know. Let's think. Levad yichya adam. Okay, very good. So you want to write that down, you want to send somebody a message, you want to start at the beginning, so maybe that's not called learning Torah, that's like a quote, like you see in books, that quote from Mark Twain, or whatever, so you quote it from Ketuvim. Right, so the same idea. Other than that, but he says, other than that, if you're writing it down, you've got to make a brocha. Okay, but this is how you talk about writing it down. What if you're lying in bed, and you're busy thinking about what you're going to say, before you write it down, you have to make a brocha then. So Shulchan Aruch, in Orachayim Mem Zayin, like a kotev bedivrei Torah, avish eno koreh tzirich lebarech. So that's basically like the Abu Draham, right? If you're writing, even though you aren't reading, you got to make a brocha. And then he says the next halacha, that was halacha gimel, halacha dalet is hamaharher bedivrei Torah. But if you're only thinking divrei Torah, eno tzirich lebarech, you have to make a brocha. That's not called limud Torah. That's not called Torah as far as Shulchan Aruch is concerned. And the Rama says, "V'hu adin diachol ipsok din belo nita tam l'dvarav." God walks and asks you a psak and says, "Tell me." He comes. I don't know. He shows you something, a question, or whatever. I don't know. Let's say a particular cloth for example. And says, he's just okay. You say yes, no problem. You can pass the halacha. Does that make a brocha? Just woken up. I don't know, whatever the case is, right? So the Yalkut Yosef is troubled, right? Look what he says over here. He says, why? He says, the main Ikar Torah is doing when you accentuate, when you verbalize. Right? So he quotes over here from Yeshua. He says, V'lo yamur sefer trazim epicha, when Moshe has told us to Yeshua. In Eruvin, he says, well, we have pasuk, right? And he quotes all psukim, whatever the case is. At the end, he says there was no brocha made on machshava v'hirua lebiuvad. That's not called a brocha. Okay? Now, a lot of people have difficulty with this. I'll be honest with you, even I have difficulty with this. I'm sure most of you have difficulty with that. I mean, how do you think that, put it this way, when you walk into the toilet, do you think you're allowed to have hirhurim of Torah while he's sitting on the toilet? No. Intuitively. I'm not asking you what halacha is. Because I think halacha is actually yes. But intuitively you think no, right? You're not going to have hirhurim in the toilet while you're having a shower. So therefore, hirhurim for us is limud Torah. You need to check that up. I think, by the way, you can. Doesn't. So yeah, so there's the Agadah. The Vilna Gaon wrote maths in the toilet. His maths book in the toilet. So they still use that maths book to this day. And I mentioned the other day. I don't know if it's true that I was heard in the toilet, right? In the toilet. But I don't know. So now the Taz, the Turei Zahav on the Orach Chaim, you haven't got Taz and Shach. You've got Taz and Magen Avraham. Okay, those are the two Nosei Kedim on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Turei Zahav, we spoke about him before. Dav Segal is the son-in-law of the Bach. We're not going to that time now. He says, like a Sakatubi Torah. Lo yadati mekor lezeh me'ayin lamdu. Where did they learn this from? Valo psak b'seif shacharei zeh. Go v'rachim hiru mitam delo kedibu dami. He says that they said, the Shulchan Aruch wants to say that in the next seif, why don't you make a broch when you just think? Because it's not like speaking. He says, but so too, when you're writing, what are you really doing? You're writing, you're just thinking. In Yan Maseh. Therefore, what's he troubled by? If you aren't chai making a brocha for thinking, then what is writing? Writing is just an advanced form of thinking. So he says, in order not to be, and the Shukra says, you should make a brocha when you write. So he says, in order to make a brocha levatala, you should at least verbalize some of the words when you're writing, because the Shukra says, you've got to make a brocha when you write. So he's not convinced you've got to make a brocha when you write, because why is writing different to thinking? So he says, at least then just say a few words, so at least everyone agrees if you said words, you've got to make a brocha, right? Mishnah Berurah Diktiva Adigmiru. He says, the Shukra thinks that, that writing is better than thinking. Why? Says, why? Because you're actually doing an act. So maybe an act is more important. And some people say, no, why? Because normally you're writing, you're actually mouthing the words. Okay, whatever gets you. And basically, the bottom line is, as far as Masakah says, people seem to agree with the Taz. That you don't rely on the Mechaber to make a brocha, but in any case, whatever you should do, right, and Rak Mahar, but you should basically verbalize things as well. Okay, and that seems to be the situation that I'm skipping over the Yaakov Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef in his tshuva of Yabir Omer, so he quotes the Shev Yaakov. The Shev Yaakov died in the 1700s, Yaakov Popash, right? He's from Frankfurt, and it's interesting about him if you ask me, I don't know, he's quoted, he's got a sefer called Shev Yaakov, a shut, and the Rabbi Yosef knows everything. You know, Rabbi Yosef knows absolutely everything. I had a guy in my class in South Africa, his name was Yair Charlap. Yair Charlap is a famous Rav Charlap, was Roshib Amir Kazarav, who was the Talmud of Rav Kook, and this is his grandson. He was in my class, he told me a true story, and I heard it afterwards. Tzachi Ashraf lives here, told me that he was in the class, what happened. Him and Charlap were together at Yeshiva at Pardes Chana, Midrash Yom Pardes Chana, right, when they were in high school. Rabbi Yosef was a young guy then in those days. He used to go around to all schools giving shiurim. Everybody knew what he was famous for, Rabbi Yosef. He'd give a shiur, he'd stand up, he wouldn't quote any makarot while he was giving the shiur. He'd give a shiur for 45 minutes, and at the end of the shiur, he'd rattle off A whole list of the Makorot, where everything that he quoted came from. So Erech Chalap, I know well, he's a huge Talmid Chacham today himself, but he had an angle to him, and he said that he didn't believe this. He said, no one's ever checked Avraham Yosef, he's going to check him. And when Avraham Yosef rattled down the whole list of Makorot, he wrote them all down, and he went and checked every single one of them. And he sent a letter to Rabbi Yosef saying, I found all the Makor, there's one Makor of yours I can't find. He said, I can't find it. He said, go let it back. It's a true story. And Tzachi Yosef knew the story independently. I mean, years later, without telling him the story, he knew the story. He said, he got a letter back from Rabbi Yosef saying, you're right. You won't find that Makor. He was once in Morocco at a shul, and he told him where the shul was, between Mincha and Maariv. And he was sitting there in a shul, and he saw the sefer on the shelf. And he picked up the Sefer, and he's also never seen the Sefer ever again since then. Okay? But he knew everything. So he writes over here, he says like this, he quotes the Shev Yaakov, he says, Shevi Kushana Tazva Magad Abraham. So I tell you, on the Orach Chaim, there's Mithal Magad Abraham. And Magad Abraham also had a similar kasha over there, where is Hiru Kedibu Dami or not Kedibu Dami? He says, but you're right, Tzabeme Tame Bai Lama Maharher Bidibre Torah and Shechel Barech. Why did you make a brocha? And you're thinking, Harei al kopanim osek bedivrei Torah, right? If you look over here, they even quote you. The editors say, and the brocha is la sok bedivrei Torah, and to deal with the Torah. And when you're thinking, you being mit asek bedivrei Torah. So why is that not part of the brocha, right? Elim shum shah mitzvah dasei shel Talmud Torah nafkadat midichtiv v'shinanti. He wants to answer. So he says over here, what's the answer? Because really, what's the mitzvah of the Torah is v'shinantem levanechem, teach your children, u'libadatem otam benechem, and to teach them, to learn, etc. Right? U'kumoshe katav ha-rabbah b'zera mitzvah, says, nimtzah shikra mitzvah b'dibur, talking, shebehiru e'efshar l'lamed levanav. You can't teach when you talk, with thinking. L'achel etchich levarech behiru, ma'she'en ke b'ktivesh e'efshar l'imod acherim, l'lamed acherim ad ektive v'zeh pashut. He says, so while writing, yes, because writing, I can teach you, I can point in. And say, yeah, read here, yeah, read here, yeah, and you can teach somebody on that. If you're just thinking alone, you can't teach them anything. Okay. So basically, we see here, according to the Shav Yaakov, the difference between writing and Hiru, basically, is able to teach somebody else or not. Now, there's a famous Gra over here. Okay, the Bira Gra 16 says like this. Aval kol ze tzarich iyun. Bira Gon's got his Bira Gra on the Shulchan Aruch, right? All of the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, I'm not convinced, he says. The Kama Barakhan mitzvah. Because we're making a brocha. What's a brocha? It's a brikhan mitzvah on Limud Torah. V'chileika mitzvah behiru. And I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah, and I think. What's going on? Right? V'alo ne'mar v'gitabo. The pasuk says v'gitabo yuman b'layla. And what's v'gitabo? Interesting. So the Vilna Gaon says like this. Ritzlo lomar b'lev. Kamo shekatuv. V'hegyon libi lefanecha shem tshuva gori. We said in Daniel Lutam, right? V'hegyon libi lefanecha. What's v'hegyon libi? So Hebrew hegyon means higayon, logic. But hegyon doesn't mean verbs. Hegyon means thinking, thought. V'choshecha in lefsok tini says, like we saw there, you don't make a brocha. He said, I cannot make a tini. V'alo lemikrat, shech levarech, v'chayke shukra b'tura b'tzibur. He said, when you're reading, when you cry, when you're reading in the public, all these things, he doesn't understand why you have to make a brocha. And the Vilna Gaon paskens la'alocha, you have to make a brocha. The Mishnah Brura, actually, I thought I saw Mishnah Brura here where he quotes the Vilna Gaon, but I want to just tell you here a story that I heard from that shiur that I quoted last week on the Hilchot Torah. He quoted a story. I tried to find it today, but I couldn't find it. It was a 59-minute shiur, and I went through the parts, but I couldn't actually find the part of it. But I think the story, and I guess so the Vilna Gaon told these students, Babaji Tim in the morning, he's very miserable. He said, what's so miserable about it? He said, because he had some thoughts, he had a dream or something, on a complicated sugya, some chirush, he came to like while he was sleeping, and he woke up and he was all upset because he forgot it. And he thinks usually that he forgot it was because he was thinking about it before he made a brocha b'kira Torah. Okay, and that was the extent that he thought there'd be, and that's why he forgot what he had learned. They saw him, he was happy, he had managed to remember it again, often because he brought it in the light. But the Vilna Gaon took this very, very, very seriously. So basically, they want to sum up here the three. But the Shulchan Aruch says that's the difference between hirur and between writing. The Taz says that you, even if you're writing, you should have words. You should make a brocha unless you've verbalized words. Even on writing, you shouldn't make. And the Vilna Gaon says even on thinking, you should make a brocha. Okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah over here, so he says that it doesn't actually make it. He said like this: Hero de lav kedibu dami not lav talking. Lefize yesh lizayel otan lomdim iyum mitocha sefer shidah hulot tzik sat divrei Torah befe. Therefore, even when you're learning on your own, you should be careful to always make at least verbal some of the words. Of mera brocha, right? If you don't make brochas, because these ones that we had today, we have yerech Hashem v'yishmerecha, right? Standard in our tefillah today, when you make a brikat Torah, if you say, start off with yerech Hashem v'yishmerecha, Hashem barev lech v'ikonech, Hashem barev v'yishmerecha, Hashem barev v'yishmerecha, Hashem barev v'yishmerecha, it appears that that whole reason that the brochas are there, that those psukim are there, is you don't make a brocha stam on Torah, which might not be a proper Torah. You make a proper psukim. So if you made that brocha, then you're okay. Then you can do whatever you want the rest of the day. But if you didn't say that psukim, then you shouldn't get involved in learning without thinking properly, right? You should, without just thinking, you should really do it. So now the So Avarabba, so it's that if you didn't make Birkat HaTorah, so you can be Yotze there to be, but you got to be Yotze there to be Yotze there to be. If you didn't make Birkat HaTorah, then you can have Kavona there to be Yotze Birkat HaTorah. Avarabba, we said last week in Avatolab, Avarabba, that the Psukim in there, the time you can swallow, that could be Birkat HaTorah. If you didn't make Birkat HaTorah and you're davening now, you could say that Birkat HaTorah. And then remember that we learned that you would have to then, start off the davening, learn a few Psukim, so that the Birkat HaTorah was Chal on that Limud. That's what we said last week. Okay. So just to quickly sum up. Sorry? Okay, so say Krishna, but you say Krishna after again as Tvila, not necessarily as Limud Torah. But you know, but you say, but we discussed the whole thing. The whole thing, when you're reading Psukim, not as Tvila, as Tvila, not as Limud Torah, so it seems to be that there would be arguments that that's not the best way to be Yotze in your Limud Torah. The Yalkut Yosef says, "Ashobat divrei Torah michaveru." Yeah, we're speaking now. What if you're just hearing passively, right? Or shiur repeat Talmid Chacham. Okay, not me, but I say shiur from a Talmid Chacham, right? Nachon shvech tefila bikrat yushmek a brocha. Vishmoch leh pasha bikrat koanim ken hogan. Then stay bikrat koanim. Why? Because you might not really be chayev in the bikrat Torah of just listening to somebody else give you a shiur, because you're passively involved, but might not be actively need this for brocha. V'achakach yakshiv yishma lako then listen. That's like a tape recorder, I think, right? And I say, yeah, Rasham Kol. You hear words from a recording, right? Right? For example, I don't know, a kid gives a Dvar Torah and they're not Chayiv in Torah, right? Right? Nachon sheyevarech tchile birkat Torah. You still make a brocha. Basically, he says, I don't even make a brocha Torah, but be careful to make psay psukim and they might be avina. And alichot Shlomo over here. The last thing I want to discuss now very quickly, we've got 5 minutes, and that is, like we saw as well last week, in terms of if you stayed up at night, did you make a shasarikot torki, brochas lakvet, or avisham and amapapai, or a bikra tor, you haven't slept the whole night, or you slept during the day. So we know they're going to make a broch every day, right? But what if you went to sleep in the middle of the afternoon, and you had a 2-3 hour shlof, you took off your clothes, you put on your pajamas, you go into bed, you put the lights off, you put on your eye guards, and you slept for 2.5 hours, then you wake up, and you now, is that a hefsek? Is it hefsek da'at? You'll make a brocha again or not? On the other hand, what if you stay up the whole night and you didn't sleep at all? Comes a new day now, you have to make brocha again. What if you went to sleep at night and only just 4 o'clock in the morning you couldn't sleep? So you woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, so you know what? I'm going to, the best thing to do is wake up in the morning, you go downstairs and you do a daf of Gemara, obviously, right? So would you have to make a brocha at 4 in the morning, or do you have to make a brocha when it's Arod HaShachar, when the new day starts? Are you still on the previous day's brocha or not? Okay, that's those are the questions we're going to try and answer now. So the Rosh Aviyah from the Shuta Rosh, this is, you know, the Rosh had his Chidushim on the Gemara, and he's also got a Shuta Rosh. It's a thin little blue book like this, actually quite amazing, I've got one, that's got unbelievable stuff in it. Thin little book like this. It's got, I don't know, thousands of shutim in it because these answers were quite short. So it says, do you have to make a brocha all the time? And what is called, what's hesech adat? Distractions. How does that translate it there? Formal distractions, right? Yeah, he says people normally, it's siesta, right? Pretty common, I suppose. The Rosh lived in France and in Germany, and then Germany actually, and then he lived in Spain. So I suppose that's siestas, right? That's siestas. Shabbos afternoon. Or lefamim shadam mashkim harbei v'chozer lishon ma'at. Or a guy got up very early, mashkim harbei v'chozer lishon, goes back to sleep a little bit, right? We know that, right? Some guys every morning go home after shul, they're on the couch and have a shlof, right? We know people who do that, right? Im nikra hezechadat olo. Is that called hezechadat? Do they make a brocher again or not? Right? Tshuva says that as ul'inyan brikra Torah, adam haragir ishkav mitato b'chol yom v'lishon. Person who regularly goes to bed every day. Shainat keva, right? Mikri, it's called permanent sleep. Have a hefsek. Tzichel v'rech brikra Torah b'kumo when he gets up. But haragir hitnam nem meyushav. If you sit on a nice reclined chair, he just doze off. Or al atzilei yadav, who leans on his hands, shirat arayhu v'lo havehefsek. The Rosh has got a pretty straightforward answer. If you get into pajamas, you go to bed, it's a hefsek adad. If you're sitting on a couch and just dozing off on your arms, it's not as tech that make a brocha. Okay?
During the day.
Right.
But if you sleep the way you just described at night.
So now, we're going to see over here. Right? So now the Shulchan Aruch Paskin's there, by the way. I'm skipping this debate, just after lack of time. He says, Shirat keva beyom, amitato havehefsek, v'yashumim delo havehefsek, v'chein nahagu. So he wants this paskin like the Yesh Omrim, but he doesn't paskin like the Rosh. He says that some say that it's considered hefsek, shana keva, the Yesh Omrim delov hefsek, the chain nahagu, right? And basically he says he paskins like the Yesh Omrim. So for the Shulchan Aruch would say, even if you go to bed in the daytime, it's not considered hefsek. Shulchan Aruch. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says, the chain nahagu, he says, ubelechem chamudot katav, he quotes a sefer over here. He says, you know what? He argues on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, the Lechem Chamudot says, and I think if you had a bracha, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Tavo alav bracha. It's a good thing. You should make a bracha. You want to pass it like the Rosh. V'chein nahag mahari levarech. V'chein hiskim apri chadash. V'liya rabba. B'shem harbei rishonim v'achronim. They all agreed. V'kach katav agra. V'chein hetika chaya adam lehalacha. He says, even the Prima Gadi Mashma did not call his Mokhara Minagaz Yeshlolivarech. Some said, the says, not. I'll copy him Nira Pashut Pasomechakura Poskim Shiskan with Varech Lohipsid. Mr. Brook comes to the conclusion that you should, the right thing to do is make the Brocha. Okay, they all pass it against the Shulchan Aruch there, like the Rosh. Okay, so that was the first question. Okay, then we said, what about wake up middle of the night? So let's look at the on page 215. Sleep during the day, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say that if you sleep during the day, proper sleep, you should make a brocha. Now, the Yoram says, Piska Chuvah Abiyah, the Pesukah says, Umnam Lemasek, Fani Pesha Lamina Kashukhan Aruch. He wants to say that the Minak Dakta Shukhan Aruch. Right? Sha'en Mavarachin Achashna Rayom, Vaf Lola Achashna Bechir Laila, Kishnatul Hashem Acharka, Lishna Achashna Laila. Afilu Bedatul Yot Erkul Laila, Vain Acher Hamina Klum. Don't try and like change the Minak. Im Yashan. He wants to say it differently. He wants to say the Biskat Chuvas. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be that you should make a brocha. If you don't make a brocha, at least you haven't lost anything. And it might even be like he quoted there, the Lech HaChamur, says, Tavola Bracha. The Biskat Chuvas wants to say don't. V'im yashan shenat keva, mi'anachon shiharer b'rikat Torah b'libo, o yomani b'lo askar tshem machu. He says, Eva, if you did sleep perfectly, look, now he starts questioning himself. That's why I don't want to read it, but since Rabbi asked the question, I'll read it. So, because it seems to me like the Biskat Chuvas here is backtracking. He starts off very straightforward, don't make the brocha, right? Then he says, V'im, if you did sleep that proper sleep in the daytime, then maybe it should be right to think a little about the brocha in your heart. Don't say the brocha, but think about it. He says, oh, your manu below askrat shev machot, say without Hashem's name. Say, Baruch Hashem, lasok b'divet Torah. Right? V'im usamuch l'filat arvit, if he's close to arvit, yes, Steve, what you said, yechavei latzet yechavazom b'brikat avat olam, umiyad begbarat fili, yomad bad. See that? You always got a little bit after the dummy. So he seems to backtrack. In my opinion, he seems to backtrack, right? And I think the Mr. Brewer is pretty straightforward. If you have a proper shlof in the afternoon, you should make a brocha. I think so. Now, what about wake up at night? Quickly, we're going, okay, it's 2 minutes past. Let's quickly go through. We've got mash. Maybe if you're doing it on an ad hoc basis, maybe not. You know what? Maybe we're speaking more about a guy who has every single day his 2-3 hour siesta. Maybe. No, so maybe not. Maybe not. Let's quickly try and finish. I don't want to finish by 10. Let's go over 1 minute. Quickly, yeah? If you wake in the middle of the night, Mishnah Berurah like this, אבל אם ישן שלת קבע מיטתו, אפילו בתחילת הלילה חשיב הפסק, ואפילו היש אומרים שבסיף יש אומרים מודה בזה. He says, even that ratio, right? When we had over here, says Shulchan Aruch says Shrakev b'yom amitato have a hefsek v'yesh umim d'lo have a hefsek. He says even Yah would agree that it is a hefsek. Therefore, if you work at the end of the night, see if you make a bracha. Yes, yes. As mentioned above, Rabbi Tam disagrees with this. It does not require you bracha when you're learning Torah before daybreak, but the accepted halacha is not in accordance with his opinion. So basically, if you woke up in the morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, it hasn't got daybreak yet. It seems that you should make a bracha before you start learning. Okay. Now, what if you're awake the whole night? This is the last point over here. Maybe we just quickly read the summary over here. The Mishnah Berurah writes, the basis of the bracha remains indeterminate. Therefore, if someone stayed awake throughout the night, instead of reciting his own new bracha in the morning, should the bracha from somebody else who slept. That's basically our minhag over here in the morning of Shavuot. You try and find somebody else who will say the bracha for you. Let's end off over here.